kind of changing the setup. I don't really know if I like this setup. It sounds, it seems like it's okay. What do you guys think? You like this setup? I had my equipment on my desk, and I'm hoping the microphone picks up everything well. It should, but either way, it's no big deal. I felt like a change, some feng shui type thing, so we can get a little bit of a change. Anyway, this is Nate Sproul, the Backyard Preacher, the Backyard Preacher podcast. I want to thank you for downloading this episode or watching this episode on Facebook. If you are, please share this podcast. I don't care if you don't even like the podcast, share the podcast, because you can go ahead and make fun of it, whatever. Help me go viral. That's what we want. That's what I want. So I'm going to pull up something here that I probably should have already pulled up before I started. But it's okay. I didn't. And it'll still work out. We are going to talk about immigration. First of all, I want to say, rest in peace, John McCain, longtime member of the Senate, passed away yesterday due to brain cancer. So we want to wish his family, keep his family in our prayers. Cause it's not an easy thing to deal with. No matter, even if you know that, you know, you're on your way out, it's still not something easy to deal with. I'm sorry. I should be set up, but I'm not. But that's one of the cool things. Here in Iowa, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm from Iowa, and one of the big things is, of course, is the Molly Tibbetts murder. And I've wrote some things on my website, if you want to go to it. Ranging anywhere, you know, about talking about the immigration debate, obviously, and then maybe the crazy idea that this was some CIA conspiracy. I don't think we've really, I know that we have not heard the last of this. And I can show you on a piece of paper how much I trust our government, because I don't. Somebody knows something. I don't think we've not heard the last of it. You know, you would think it would be easier this is terrible. I'm so sorry. And then I go live because I want to, here we go. All right. Awesome. And I'm still recording, so that's good too. Anyway, so what I really want to get into today when it comes to immigration and Jesus the immigrant is because Jesus was an immigrant. Jesus was an immigrant. It's in the book of Matthew chapter 2:13-22, I believe, and it tells the story of great persecution that was taking place in the region that Jesus was living in. And an angel of God told Joseph to pack up his family and get out. You know, when you are in danger, when you are looking for a better life, when you are wanting something new, sometimes if you're definitely in danger, let's just say that, if your child is in danger, you're gonna break the law and step over an imaginary line in the sand and come over to a place where you can get some peace. You're not thinking, you don't care about the law. I broke the law. They broke the law. You know, it's so stupid that, you know, I broke the law. I broke the law. You know, I don't care. If you tell me that you wouldn't risk breaking the law if your child was in danger, if your family was in danger, I don't know what the Egyptian immigration department was thinking 2,000 years ago, but Jesus was allowed and his family was allowed into Egypt. If Egypt would have said, nope, you guys gotta go back, we can't take you, get back there, Jesus possibly would have been killed. Very good possibility. If the biblical account is correct, that King Herod was putting to death these children at the certain time that Jesus was of that age, then it's all likelihood if Jesus' family would not have migrated to Egypt for, really, we don't have the exact amount of time that he stayed in Egypt, but if the Department of Egyptian Security 2,000 years ago would have said, no, we can't have you, Jesus. We can't have you, Joseph, Mary. You guys gotta go. I don't care how much danger you guys are in. You could be a threat. You guys could be terrorists. We don't know. You could be drug dealers. What do you got on that mule, Joseph? It may be a bunch of, you know, who knows what. We can't have it. But thankfully, they were able to go into Egypt. They were able to find a place, obviously, to set up and live, and I'll read the story. It's right in Matthew. If you don't believe me, because many people want to look over these kind of things when they talk about my liberal stances on politics and how it conflicts with the Bible. Well, it does not conflict with the Bible. As a matter of fact, I would say, most of the Bible is liberal compared to what we consider conservatism today in the United States. Because Jesus didn't care what the laws and the rules were. You know, he transcended that. You know, just like when they tried to trick him and say, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and when Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God's. When the Pharisees tried to trick him, and when asked about giving the temple task or receiving the tax, Jesus was like, I'm thinking to himself, you know, I really don't need to pay this tax, but for the sake of everybody around me, I will. But see, he was in a catch-22 situation. If he didn't pay the tax, the Romans could arrest him, and if he did pay the tax, then Jesus would have been shown to the other Israelis that he was bowing down to the Roman government. So he came up with this really cool saying that people misuse all the time. You know, all right, who's on that coin? Caesar. Well, give to Caesar what Caesar. Jesus was a master at hyperbole, and he was a master at, you know, making people think and trying and coming off with these cool radical ideas and thought processes that we have spun into this doctrine. And like, we spun that very verse into a doctrine that we must obey all government. We must obey all law because all law is of God. All governments are of God. And I know Paul talks about that too in, it's either Romans or Corinthians. Paul's talking about that too. But basically, what we don't really understand, what we don't really get from what Paul's talking about is the actual context of the day. And yes, it is important to follow the rules of the government. It is important to be a good person. It is important to live a righteous life. You know, it is important to follow the Ten Commandments. Those are the basic building blocks of a society. Those things were written down before Moses had them, or God wrote them down for Moses. Before that, the Hammurabi Code shows us that. And before that was written down, more than likely, stealing and killing and adultery and things of that nature was something that was wrong, because people, society kind of just said, well, you know what, I don't want you doing this to me, I won't do it to you, let's make a pact and don't do it. So when we try to say that every law that the government makes must be God ordained, that's crazy, that's ridiculous. Every law that the government makes is not God ordained. We ordain them because we make them. And lots of times we make foolish laws. Lots of times we make laws that aren't helping anybody. And here I went on this tangent and I wanted to get into the escape from Egypt. So when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. They escaped. Stay there until I tell you. For King Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So you are in some South American country. And you know you got these gang members or these cartel members that are going to search for you. And if you don't do their bidding, they're going to kill you and your family. So you know it's going to be risky to go into the United States. You could die going to the United States, but you know you're going to die if you stay where you're at. So this is Joseph's predicament. He knows it's going to be dangerous going down into Egypt. That's a long way. That's a long way to travel. But he also knows that his son's gonna die for sure if he stays there. So he heeds the angel's warning, he takes the advice, and he says, alright. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. And, you know, that whole, the verbiage of during the night, it's something in darkness, something that he was doing, he was being sneaky. And yes, a lot of immigrants who come over here, they're sneaky because they don't want to get caught. Because if they get caught, they're going to go to jail, they're going to get sent back, and they're going to be right back where they were before. But why do they keep on coming over and coming over and coming over? Well, they keep on coming back over despite the possibility of going to federal prison, which is a real possibility after the first offense, which is a misdemeanor in our country. Second offense is a felony, a federal felony, so they can go to prison for a few years. But to them, that's worth it, because if they stayed where they're at, they're probably dead. When Herod realized that they had been outwitted, So he got up, took the child and the mother, and went out in the middle of the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled that the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And that was from Hosea that said that. And then Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi. And remember, the Magi went to Herod looking for this new king that was to be born. The Magi kind of started this whole ball rolling, because before the Magi came to Herod, Herod wasn't even thinking about a new king being born. And he realized he had been outwitted by the Magi. He was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he learned from the Magi. And these dates are very hard to calculate. Matter of fact, we don't really know how old Jesus necessarily, well, we know the ballpark of how old Jesus was. He was under 2 years of age. what gets difficult is when you start placing timings to when Jesus was actually born and what year he was actually born in. Most people, most scholars don't believe he was born in the year zero. Probably, who knows, up to 5 BC. It's we don't know necessarily, or maybe even in the 80s. There's a small spectrum of time, and then what historians have learned about Herod, we don't exactly have the date, but we know the juxtapose of what's going on here. So, and that corresponds with what Jeremiah the prophet says, of course. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And that is a prophetic voice, of the children who were killed by Herod. One thing that's interesting though is that secular scholarship has any evidence that this actually took place. Although I don't always side with secular scholarship, and here's why. Secular scholarship has been found wanting many, many, many times, in the past, when it came to the whole idea that the Bible could be a roadmap to, in archaeology, which secular archaeology has found that, the Bible is a very reliable roadmap in finding, cities and places and time. So a lot of things can be lost in time, and we'll never really know, we'll never be able to connect the dots, except for we have our faith that comes in. Because I am a man of faith, as liberal as I am a man of faith, and I believe the Bible, so I'm gonna read it and believe it, but I'm not gonna read it like a newspaper, because that's dumb. But in a situation like this, I just kind of take it for what it says. And even if it's not real, you still really get a really good moral story out of it, which is important for all of us, regardless of the fact. Because I still believe the Bible is inspired words of God. So after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled that was said through the prophet that he would be called a Nazarene. His immigration turned out to be what ultimately led Jesus to grow into his ministry as Jesus of Nazareth. Joseph obeying, Joseph taking care of his family. If Joseph would not have done what he did, he would have been guilty of not taking care of his family. So therefore, when we look at immigrants that are coming into the United States, when we're looking at mothers coming in with children, and whole families coming in together, what we're looking at is fathers and mothers who are taking care of their family. And if they wouldn't have done doing, if they don't, I'm not saying the ones that stay behind aren't taking care of their family, but in many instances, these people are saying, "Shoot, dude, I'm doing what I gotta do to make sure that my family is going to survive." Because even though this is a dangerous thing that we're doing, even though it's technically illegal what we're doing, I don't care, because I know we're gonna die if we stay in this situation. At least we have an opportunity over there, because we've heard of the promised land and we think it's good. We can remember when Joshua sent it has to come back to me. I am very sorry. I believe it was Caleb. I want to say Joshua, but I'm not 100% certain. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? Well, they were going into the promised land, I know that, Moses, and they came upon, we'll find it here. This is what I like about live podcasting, is that I'm not going to stop and edit anything. That's just dumb. I'm all about the live. When you do it live, see, Moses was never allowed into the promised land. So, what I'm really thinking was, man, I know one of them, basically they were ordered to go into the promised land. They were ordered to go, break down borders. That's what they were ordered to do, and to spy out this land that they were going to try to conquer. Not saying that was necessarily right either, but that's what they did. And they did it, and well, what I believe it was Caleb and Joshua. I got the computer in front of me, I can just look it up real quick. Yeah. Joshua and Caleb. But there was 12 spies that went into the land, and what happened was, 10 of them basically was like, dude, no way. We can't do this. It's gonna be too hard. But Joshua and Caleb were like, shoot man, we got God on our side. We're not worried about it. Things are gonna be good. But the people didn't believe. And so what happened was, Moses and everyone were not allowed to enter into the promised land. Sometimes you just gotta do it. You know, you gotta just do it. You gotta just believe in yourself and go for it. Many times in my life, there's times where I'm just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I have it in me to actually be able to do this. I don't know if I have the abilities. And I say, I have to either make a choice. Do I want to be like the spies that said, you know what, it's too dangerous, it's too risky, or do I want to be like Joshua and Caleb, who were like, you know, we can do this, God has our back. In the same sense, you know, you could be like, I'm sure a lot of people in South America or in Mexico are like, man, it's too risky to go into the United States, look what's going on. Look at the president, they're really cracking down, we're not going in, they think we're killers. But some of them were like, you know what, we can do this, God has our back. And that's the paradox of believers as well, is that oftentimes when you think that God is on your side, the other people are also thinking God's on their side. So whose side is God on? I think many times that probably immigrants coming from Mexico or other South American countries could be believers, and they may be thinking full and well that, listen, God's on my side. We're trying to get out of this horrible situation. God has to be on our side. Look at all these stories about immigration in the Bible. Yes, God wants us to do this. And then in the United States, we're saying that God's on our side for having borders and having law. And it can get really confusing to a believer in thinking who is on whose side. And the way I look at it is God's on everyone's side, and we're just trying to figure out how to live. And if we could figure out how to live right, we would take people in, and we would have resources to provide aid to people that are coming into the country and make it an easier way for people to gain citizenship or at least stay here and get jobs. Jobs that nobody wants anyway. Nobody wants these jobs. Nobody wants a lot of these jobs at all. A lot of these fields, they're not getting, their crops are being wasting away because there's no laborers. When you don't have laborers out in the field, you know, what are you going to do? But we do what we can. Taking up a lot of time. In many ways, we can look at the situation like the pilgrims who came over from England. They wanted religious freedom. And they thought they'd come into a new world that they heard about. You know what? Maybe that's the plan. That's the plan, man. I'm gonna get out of here. They counted the cost. They knew that it was gonna be dangerous, but they did it anyway. I want to finish up this podcast by actually reading from my denomination that I'm a clergy member of. I want to read our statement from our chairman of the board, Reverend Gina Pond. Let me go to here. And this is the statement that I'm on this board as well, and that we have voted on and have said that this is going to be our statement that the Progressive Christian Alliance is going to hold to in these troubled times. We, the Progressive Christian Alliance, are appalled by the systemic, amoral, and unethical treatment of immigrants by the current administration. What started with a ban on Muslim immigrants coming in from specific countries has now become a full-out incarceration and abuse of people of color from other countries who come to seek asylum. We are disgusted and appalled that children, babies, and toddlers are not only being abused, but are being ripped from their families and forced to face the grown-up legal system alone and entirely without representation. We absolutely condemn these actions by this administration. These actions do not in any way fix the problem that the administration claims to be caused by immigrants. They are inhumane and go against the teachings of Jesus and Scripture. In Matthew 25:37-40, Jesus tells us, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did to me. And what are we doing? How are we treating Jesus in these times? We're not treating him very well. And Jesus also tells us the greatest commandment is in Luke 10:27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. For those of us in the Progressive Christian Alliance, there are no exceptions to these rules. We love our Muslim neighbor, our LGBTQIA plus neighbor, our neighbors from Latin America, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, and all other places and religion on this planet. Radical inclusion dictates that there should be a place for everyone at the table. This doesn't mean that those who do harm aren't accountable for their actions. Absolutely not. If that young man who killed, who is accused of killing Molly Tibbetts is guilty, then he's not, he should serve what Iowa tells him to serve, and that is life in prison without parole. That's what the punishment for first-degree murder is. There's no exceptions in Iowa for that. I live in Iowa. It's a major thing here. So this doesn't mean those that do harm aren't accountable for their actions, but it does mean that if, even if someone has committed a crime, they are still treated as a human being. I can't say that this Christian actually killed this woman because he hasn't been found guilty yet. He admitted to it, but a lot of people admit things when they're under duress. The Progressive Christian Alliance and its clergy laity stand in opposition to these inhumane, racist, and exclusionary policies and will fight against them wherever and however we can. We call on all Christians, progressive and otherwise, to reflect on the history and role of Christianity in general and extremist Christianity in particular. In bringing us to this point, we must work in all our denominations, churches, and groups to root out racism, sexism, ageism, homophobia, and all other extremism. While we individually may not have had a hand in creating the policies by those who have perverted Christianity's ethos to their own ends, we each have a responsibility to own up to Christianity's dark history and be a part of cleaning up our own house. Until we accept that Christianity has been used for evil throughout its history, own up to it, and atone collectively for it, we will never be able to change the future. We ask in Jesus' name that the name of the one who is called God and many other names, that all people of God will return to compassion, to love, and to bringing justice and care to those who are in need. That we will do the reflection necessary as individuals, groups, and organizations in order to bring about the radical inclusion and hospitality that Jesus taught us to create and emulate it. Amen. So mote it be, may it be so, Reverend Gina Pond, Leadership Chair. That's exactly how I feel, and exactly how all clergy members of the Progressive Christian Alliance feel. And we declare it, and we spread that message throughout the world, and we hope that every denomination, that everybody that calls on the name of God will also follow this decree. And that brings us pretty much to the end of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a good one. It's been a long one. I hope you liked the difference. I might move this stuff back to my desk next week. I don't know. God bless you guys. It's been fun. I want you guys to have a great, wonderful, powerful week. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the time that you have. Give your loved ones a hug. Can't say I love you enough, and I love you as well. God bless, and we'll see you next time on the Backyard Preacher Podcast. Remember, if you like this podcast, share this podcast. Even if you don't like it, I don't care. Share it anyway. I don't care. I'm just trying to do my thing. God bless you guys.